Welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show where we talk about visual culture and creative community. I am Michael Edwards, filling in for the host, Amanda Coulson. And in studio, we have members of Expo 2020 who are participating in the Double Dutch Hot Water exhibition currently on at the National Art Gallery. And so we're talking a lot about the project of gathering information around Ragged Island, the trip that was taken during the summer, and how a lot of that information is being fed into the exhibition Hot Water around sustainability and environmental issues. I think it's of note to mention that a lot of these conversations have been happening around the university, both nationally but specifically around UB. There is a running Small Island Sustainabilities program.
Yeah,
Dr.
Yeah, there is a an SIS program that is currently under review.
Okay,
and we are building it should be completed, a Small Island Sustainability building that is meant to be LEED certified.
LEED certified. What is that? LEED certified, meaning sustainable practices,
sustainable
building
practices, green practices.
Sure.
Looking at the way they construct in accordance with particular LEED specifications, because LEED is an outside
certification,
an organization,
right,
that certifies green buildings and green systems.
Absolutely. Okay.
So I think we kind of have to stop thinking of buildings and start thinking of systems, because it's not about just the building itself, but how it works within the natural and the built environment.
Yeah.
So you're looking at systems that function together or break down. And we're trying to create an equilibrium that allows nature to survive and thrive, as well as allowing the built environment to thrive.
And so when you say systems, other types of systems,
other
not
types
just
of systems.
Environmental, social, economic systems. So the kind of triple bottom line. Ida, you wanted to say something.
Like ecology is a space and place. Ecology is a space and place, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to like how the whole community, everything that interacts with it, how it relates and how it works together to create a whole identity and system that, you know, operates well.
Exactly. And I think the exhibition does that in many ways and on many different levels. And you kind of have to sit with the show for a while when you go, step away and maybe come back, because that's just the beginning of a con. So you have the materiality of water and how essential water is to life, and not just any water but fresh water, and how challenging it is to access fresh water in a community like Ragged Island, but how it must be used to build, it has to be used to sustain life, and it has to be used to to propagate, otherwise you can't farm. You know, even goats somehow manage to survive. They're good survivors like that. Goats and sheep are pretty good. But without that fresh water, you have to abandon. And I think that, you know, look at history. Look at the way the Spaniards always had to go looking for fresh water in their conquered lands, like in St. Augustine, in Puerto Rico, in Cuba. So these are themes that continue to come up, but we continue to think that we're better than the environment and we can just step them down. And also the way weather reports work, because that's something that's in the background constantly on. Like this time of year, we're constantly monitoring the weather.
Right.
We listen to the local reports and we listen to the international reports. We listen to the European reports and we listen to the American reports, because each one has something specific to offer. And I think that kind of overlap is very important to even beginning to see who we are as ourselves.
And so a lot of that, in terms of materiality, that was the conscious decision-making of what will be included in the show. Can you begin to talk about, again, the material, some of the decisions that were made, of what to put in the show? What will you see in the show?
Again, to reference again, we said about how we're always looking at American and European weather forecasts. One thing we talked about the show was looking at an app using an ethnographic approach to the project.
Mm-hmm.
Really talking about how, you know, how outside the viewer, so we can start to like look again at ourselves. You know, kind of seeing, okay, in the Bahamas, we have a space and we have a certain idea of ourselves that comes from the outside, but how can we reinterpret that voice in a space? A lot of people have to begin to ask questions again about how we are as a people, how we treat our environment, and how we can recreate and redevelop and reimagine our spaces. So in the exhibit, we use, you know, like water to kind of, you know, to kind of show how it's important, but how it also has, you know, these attributes that make us who we are. And we also use some running text, some Bahamian dialect, to really bring about a different kind of voice, to really kind of deconstruct some of the narrative and kind of put it in juxtaposition to, mm-hmm. you know, the outside voice.
Didn't mm-hmm. they also use, like, plastic bottles that they collected
yeah,
off of
yeah,
the beach?
Could, yeah, because, well, no, that was, we used, I don't know, Plastico did some garbage cleanup.
Yeah.
Some sea cleanup, I think.
And they used the plastic, right, in the
yeah.
exhibition.
Yeah, and they used a lot of natural... Because actually visual artists, do a lot of painting and drawing of conch shells, of videos. They even used them, one video in particular of a junkanoo costume with the person was wearing it, digging the sand underneath to kind of portray the idea of how we're trying to fight climate change, but also how it sometimes can obscure us as well. You know, so there's definitely a lot of imagery, a lot of deep thought that went into the projects mm-hmm. and the imageries and videos and sounds, mm-hmm. especially the sounds that we chose as well as a whole group. So, as I said again, it takes time. You have to sit with it, think about it,
yeah.
contemplate, come back, leave, come back again. Mm-hmm. Just like the ocean, just like the waves, it takes time for the effects of it to really be felt, because sometimes it may come slowly, you know. So, yeah.
Mariah, you have anything to add to that?
Yes, I would also say that the show Hot Water speaks to the juxtaposition of the relationships we have with water. Like, yes, we're looking forward to having a blue economy and building a sustainable future from that. And we have a lot of, well, specifically in Ragged Island, their economy has almost always relied on the water. But then we also have that juxtaposed to the dangers of water, and climate change and water rise, and how we have to build a sustainable future with that in mind. So there are these two pieces in particular with these huge water jugs that they tend to use like during the hurricane time down in Ragged Island.
As reservoir, it's kind of like to store the water.
Yeah, to store the water. sometimes they place them on higher surfaces so the water would just come down with the pressure. Mm-hmm. We did something similar to that. They were suspended on pallets, and then the water trickles out into a tank. And I guess the best feeling, the way I can describe the feeling of standing next to this, it's rather overwhelming, this large lit up box with water in it, one that has like more of that Bahamian blue, you know, the sunset and seaweed like the cell, and then the deep water, like it's extremely overwhelming. It feels as though you're being surrounded by this water, like there is a threat indeed.
I just wanted to add that I think it was yesterday, either yesterday morning or this morning, I was going over the bridge. And it was about 6:30, 6:45, 7-ish. And the mailboats were all there with their mattresses, with their water containers. I keep wanting to say the candungos de agua.
Yeah.
And the deck was filled with water containers, which again speaks to the transshipment point that New Providence is. The connectivity, unfortunately, relies on this heart here to get things out to the islands. so it reminded me of being on the boat, but it also reminded me of how we send things out and how things come back here, and the importance of that circulation or that connectivity.
And so it speaks to systems again. Yeah. So water being this kind of overarching theme. I heard things about light and water. So again, a systems thinking approach to the show. But the containers make sense in terms of they have a certain narrative. There's a certain association with containers, right? And the title, appropriately, what was the title of that piece?
Hot Water? Oh, the title of the piece.
Yeah. I think I saw estimated time of arrival. And so that makes sense, right? There's nothing kind of etched in stone. We get there when we get there. You had mentioned 8 stops along the way. And so there's no kind of set schedule, right? Yeah. Estimated time of arrival can be...
Exactly. Which is so different from the European context, where the train leaves at X time and arrives at Y time. Yeah, and if you are not there at X, two minutes before X time, the doors will be locked.
Right, right.
Yeah. Totally different concept.
Yeah, because to bring back in the trip in time, like we got into our first stop about 6 in the morning, I think. I woke up and it was like, this is... different environment. It was black, and we were right next to the port, I think at Norman's Quay, and it was just like surreal, you know. Mm-hmm. And time, and then how long, and then how, when we were on the trip, how many times we kept having to change our schedules and everything, the thing, like, okay, we kept readjusting when are we getting to Ragged Island, how long we're gonna be there, when are we getting there. And it was a lot of questions, and it was definitely
no one knows,
but we got there and we got back, and you know, nature has to do what nature does, you know. And again, we were on one engine as we went down and came back.
That's right.
We came back.
That's
up.
Right. One engine.
And the thing is, we came in on, I think we came back in during like a storm in the Nassau Harbor. It's raining and everything, you know, like 6 in the morning again. So it's like we kind of left late. Came back at unexpected times. It's just the sea is its own creature, so you have to
absolutely
respect it and understand it.
And then, Mariah, you had mentioned color, right? So these containers are lit up, blue green, and it speaks to you know, playing on the blue economy, but the color of the sea, of the ocean, the kind of diversity of deep water, shallow water. You want to talk about that a bit more, like what went in deciding that these containers, these water containers, would be lit up like lanterns? I think it was your decision, actually.
Well, we had spoken about use and light.
Mm-hmm. We did, yes.
And we even went into using some stencils and experimenting with that. And I thought that the containers would be an excellent source of light, to have them illuminate like that kind of that one blue marble box that everyone's trying to steal in every movie. Absolutely. Like the villains always, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's kind of what we're always on the search for, what people come here for.
Uh-huh.
I think the decision also to have them as the two different colors speaks back into climate change and how the Bahamas, land of shallow waters, if we continue on the path that we're on, that's not going to be the condition anymore. We're just going to be deep water.
Okay. Absolutely.
And I just wanted to add, and of course it went out of my mind, how we are really flat. And so the danger to us is greater than the danger to a mountainous nation. It's different, granted, because like Dominica, they have mudslides and earthquakes and all kinds of things that represent a different kind of threat. But we here will have the problem with the water just flowing over the islands because we're so flat. And because the hills have all been taken down by developers who have very short-sighted views of what development looks like.
Our last hill is a movie theater now.
Opposite
that was our last kind of like hill, like, you know, where everybody could run to.
There are more hills, I think. That's one of several left, but the point
the point is that the sea level is rising, mm-hmm. and a lot of our keys and islands are definitely either at sea level, some of them are below sea level, and so sea level rise is a real threat. So the systems in place have to be what? Resilient.
Yeah.
Because those systems Absolutely. Need to be able to not just fix the problem, but adapt to increasing problems.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at the way we use the SDGs or the Sustainable Development Goals
right.
that have replaced the Millennium Development Goals and plan. You know, the Columbia University plan that the United Bahamian Party government brought.
That's right. I think it was in the 60s, 62, 62 64, 65, 67.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Right. I do recall.
That still sits on a shelf. Like mm-hmm. all the development plans that we have created before and since. And there is this...
And there were many others after that.
There were many others.
Several, I should say. EDOR being one that speaks to me, and maybe one or two others.
And then all the work that was done on the National Development Plan during the last administration and this administration. Unfortunately, we still have this thing where every 5 years we throw the baby out, we throw the bath out, and we throw the bath water out. And then we recreate stuff that's already been there.
Right.
But we think that nothing has happened in the 5 years that we haven't been here.
So again, so the show, this kind of overarching, what I'm hearing is nature juxtaposed with culture, or the culture of nature. And then how does that, it ties in well with the work of Plastico. I think
yes.
it comes together yeah. very well again in terms of a conversation, right? There's a dialogue, but there's it's unified, right, in terms of the work of Expo 2020 and then Plastico Fantastico. It's seamless between the work and
right.
the conversation that was going on.
I really like the bench, the back of the bench that says, come by Ragged Island.
Yeah, yeah. Culture and nature again, right?
Culture and nature again.
And I think you had mentioned the weather systems, right? This kind of information dissemination, that's a culture in and of itself mm-hmm. of looking at yourself through somebody else's eyes
and
or
then
looking at it through a different lens.
Right, and looking at the way we have always been represented and we have chosen to be represented in particular ways without thinking of the way we have been represented.
Yeah.
So I assigned one of my classes to go to Potter's Key and see what Potter's Key is about. And looking at, mm-hmm. is Potter's Key important to Bahamian identity?
Mm.
And for them, it's just a dirty space.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get any of the other cultural significances that are
You have to
happening
hold up a
there.
Different lens and look at it with a different
you
lens.
You do, but then for them, the Atlantis commercial is
right.
you know,
beautiful. Right. Ida, you wanted to say something. You're itching.
Because that's about like Potter's Key in history of it, and like imagery is very important. Like, we don't have like... The space has changed in the past 150 years, so it's like, and our relationship to it has changed as well. So the importance of it that modern or like contemporary generations may not get, all the generations will understand, you know, because it was like, this is where you go to when you find something from the outer islands, or find this is where you come, or you need to go there, this is where you go. So it's a space of transport.
Trade.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. A space of communication. So it was a communal community hub.
It's like the hotspot.
Yeah.
Like a downtown.
Exactly.
But it has changed.
You know.
But, and I laugh. Mm-hmm. As my 2-year-old says, I laugh.
Yeah.
Because the whole waterfront mm-hmm. in front of Potter's Key has changed.
Mm-hmm.
And you may not remember what it looked like before.
Mm-hmm.
Not just this recent... Mm-hmm. building of the boardwalk kind of mm-hmm. malecon, but mm-hmm. when it was just seafront
yeah.
and people would step into the water and walk to their boats because it was it was shallow enough, so uh-huh. now they've had to deepen it
mm-hmm.
because they wanted to be a more active mm-hmm. harbor. And before mm-hmm. we had 100 cruise ships in the harbor at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So the way that life has changed to adapt to mm-hmm. an outside source mm-hmm. is important.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I think, Mariah, you want to say something
very
briefly?
We're about
to, we have to wind up. Yeah.
I think that also speaks to the disconnection that we have with the family islands now as well. Like, it's just, grown further apart. From my generation, I don't know many students who know much about Potoski Dock or the experience of having to collect something from the dock or send something to the family or traveling on the boat, but that's something that I have.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and it's an extreme loss of culture. It's a pity, really.
So this is ongoing, right? This is not the end of the project. This is ongoing. It will continue for another year or so, or at least thereabouts. So I want to thank everyone for coming this evening, for being in studio. Ashley McLean, Ida Thompson, Mariah Lightborn, and Dr. Ian Bethel Bennett. I wish to remind listeners that Double Dutch is going on right now. Again, it opened on the 23rd of August, and it closes on the 21st of October. So as Ide said, please go sit, revisit, and kind of be absorbed in the work, in the show. And of course, I would like to direct our listeners to, again, the website, all of our calendar of events at the National Art Gallery, upcoming movie talks, exhibitions, all that can be found on the website. And most of the events, maybe 99% of the events are free. And of course, every Sunday is free for Bahamians. So please visit the National Art Gallery for free Sundays. And so, again, I would like to thank Plastico Fantastico for an amazing collaboration with the students at UB and Expo 2020. And so this is Blank Canvas, the show where we talk about visual culture and creative community. Join us next week right here on Guardian Talk 96.9 FM.